I love you, brother.
2 Corinthians chapter 8 in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Okay, so we know that anytime somebody does not want something mentioned, just to have Jay come up here. He'll open up about it. The building looks beautiful. I know the last time I was in here, some things were done in here, but I think some things are done differently back there. And also, just some of the decorations are a little bit different from last time I was here. The building looks absolutely beautiful. And who am I? But the Lord, I know the Lord appreciates it. I know the Lord appreciates it, but the building looks beautiful. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Brother Jay did say that, you know, he doesn't have to introduce me, and I don't, you know, that I know everybody. I'm looking around, and there's about 50% I recognize. There's some I don't, but I've got a really bad memory, and I know I was able to be introduced to Brother John, and appreciate meeting you. I know you're a blessing to my father, but into the church. And I know you got a good education, too, so appreciate that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So if I don't recognize some of you, or if you don't recognize me, I am the third child. So you know what they say about pastor's kids, and then you know what they say about the third one. So you just multiply it all down, and that's me. All right. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And none of those things are true anyways. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. And God's word says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." One more time. Paul writing, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today, God, on this first day of the week, in this first service, God, second service this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for Bible Baptist Church of Cambridge, Ohio. Lord, I thank you for every single member and every single member of this body, Lord, that's down here and the work that they do from day in and day out. Lord, we thank you for the light that has shined in southeastern Ohio because of this church. Lord, we know that it's your church, and God, we ask that you do a special work in each life and each member this morning. Lord, we know that there's power in the preaching of the cross and that you'll do that from behind this pulpit this morning. God, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do in this next period of time. In Jesus' precious and inspiring name I pray. Amen. Now, Paul, writing to the church of Corinth here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now, we know that any time in the Bible we see that Paul or any other writer or God says, you need to know about this. There are certain times where he says, "I'll stir you up in remembrance of," or "I'd like to draw your attention to," or "do you remember when?" There's different times when the Bible says, "Remember this thing." And Paul, as God has given him a ministry as an apostle born out of due season, you know, and he wrote the majority of the New Testament and things like that. We know that Paul says to this church of Corinth, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." So this morning, I'd like to look at the grace of God. I would like you to wit of the grace of God, to consider the grace of God, and to ponder the grace of God from the Bible's perspective, and from what God says through His Word. There was an author, Lewis Berry Schaefer, that said this: "The exact and discriminate meaning of the word grace should be crystal clear to every child of God. With such insight only can he feed his own soul on the inexhaustible riches which it unfolds." In other words, you need to know about grace. You need to study grace. You need to look at grace. Why? Because God is gracious and full of mercy. Now, we know that when we look at the attributes of God, that God is his attribute, but his attribute is not him. In other words, God is love, but love is not God. God is gracious, but graciousness is not God. God equals all that grace could ever equal, but grace could never equal God. So when we look at the subject of grace, we know that this is something that God can do. We know that this is something that God holds on to. We know that this is something that God bestows to other people. We know that this is an attribute of God, one of His characteristics. Define. There's many different definitions. One of them is unrecompensed kindness and favor. Undeserved kindness. Unmerited love. God doing something for somebody for absolutely no reason. Grace. You know the verse in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 that says, "For by grace are ye saved." God doing something for somebody else for absolutely no reason. Grace cannot incur a debt. Grace cannot incur a debt. In other words, if God does something by grace, you don't owe Him anything for it. Because He did it, and it cannot incur a debt. The moment that you owe something back for that, it's no longer grace. It's a favor that is merited. It's a debt that has to be repaid. It's a loan that you have to work to pay it back. But God does things for absolutely no repayment required. God does things that I did absolutely nothing, and He's paying me back for it. It's just grace. Grace is not withheld or lessened by demerit. In other words, God does things, and if I do something that is wrong, or if I do something that does not follow some code or something like that, God takes back His grace. Grace is not merited, and grace cannot be lessened by demerit. God just does it and continues to do it. We cannot even consider, we cannot even pile up a list of all the things that God has done for each and every one of us this morning already. You know, the Bible says that all the books of the world could not contain the things that Jesus did in His 3.5 years of earthly ministry. Well, all the books in the world cannot contain what Jesus has already done just this morning in this room. By grace. Just by grace. You know that law demands a result, but grace can never demand a result. Never demands a result. A lot of people look at our Christian heritage, and I'm going to say things today that are absolutely true, but it's not the only reason. All right? A lot of people look at American history and say American history is blessed because of God. But can I tell you, America's blessed because God blesses. America is blessed because that's God's will. A lot of the blessings that we have today, are in response. If you were here in Sunday school, we looked at a lot of different reasons why God bless America. But one of the reasons is just because we have a God that created the first man and designed and instituted government, and He blesses. That's what He does. There are families that are blessed because that's what God does. There are people that are blessed because that's what God does. Well, why? For what reason? What do we owe Him? Or what has to be paid back? Or what's going on here? God is gracious. He's full of grace. What type of a God is He? He's a God that does things for people for absolutely no other reason than just to do them. Grace. You know that the moment that works are involved in grace, grace ceases to be grace. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6 says, Paul writing again, he says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." In other words, God is doing something for me that even if I did anything to deserve it, then it wouldn't be considered grace anymore. So God's just pointing out that He does a lot of stuff for me that even if I was working it, I wouldn't deserve it anyways. He's just doing all kinds of good things and bestowing blessings on each and every one of us that I couldn't possibly deserve anyways. Therefore, it must be grace. Amen. The grace of God. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and we'll start our reading in verse 33. Romans chapter 11. Unmerited favor. Pure, unrecompensed kindness and favor. And my personal definition of grace, just undeserved love. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. And we'll see here in these verses a definition of grace, biblical definition of the word grace and God's grace. It probably won't seem that way at first, but we'll see it in a moment. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Romans 11 and verse 33. And God's word says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." What those verses are saying is, who gave God the idea? Who was it that put it in the mind of God? Who was God's counselor? Who first, God did something for them, and so they have to do something back for God. Or who first did something for God, and God had to return that favor to us? What these verses are saying is, that before the foundation of the world, God loved us. And that before Bob Lethley ever existed, grace was bestowed upon me. Who went to God and said, "Lord, now there's mankind is living in sin. The world is in darkness and in need of a Savior"? Or who went to God and said, "God, if you create that man Adam, he'll sin and he'll fall. And then, God, aren't you thinking about who's going to pay that price to cover his sin?" God, who was your counselor? Who put it in your mind? In other words, God's love comes directly out of his nature. God's goodness comes directly from the bottom of his heart. His love is who he is. His love originates inside of himself. What type of character is God? What type of nature does God have? God's the kind of God that you don't have to walk from one end of the world to the other end of the world on your hands and knees until you bleed enough and until you feel enough pain, or you don't have to give enough riches, or you don't have to wail long enough, or you don't have to blow up enough people, or you don't have to do some horrendous thing to get the attention of. Straight from his heart and straight from his character and nature, God is good. He's full of grace. Who put it in his mind? Nobody. He just did it. God does things every moment of every day for you and I that we don't even deserve. Why? Because of his grace. Because of his grace. "Thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." Thanks be to God that it's in his heart and nobody had to put it there to do things for you. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, just over to the right, a couple books from Romans, 2 Corinthians and chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14. Paul writing, and he says, "And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." They were looking for the answers to their prayers from God. And they knew that God would give it because God is gracious. And so they were praying specifically, but also they were praying generically for God to bestow his gift of his grace upon them. Grace cannot incur a debt, cannot be given to repay a debt. Therefore, grace is merely a free gift. Grace is a gift. Romans, you'll recognize these verses as I read them. Romans 3, and starting in verse 23, says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Therefore, a couple of verses later, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. No work can be done. It's simply by the gift of God's grace. God's grace precedes all human works. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now consider this thought, and I'll go back to it and give you an illustration in just a moment, but the next verse says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And that verse, the first time I heard it, didn't make any sense to me. But every time I read this verse, and even when certain situations happen, my mind comes back to this verse. I served in the military directly after high school, and my first deployment was a combat deployment. And when I got back, Sarah and I went to a Steak and Shake over in Zanesville. It's open 24 hours, so you get to go there and drink a lot of coffee and spend a lot of time together. All right, so Sarah and I went to this Steak and Shake, and we were talking, and this guy came in, hippie-looking dude came in. All right, and I say that's what he looked like. He was a hippie-looking dude, and he was wearing an American flag as a shirt. Not a shirt with an American flag on it. He was wearing a American flag, ripped and torn and dirty, as a shirt. I had just gotten back. It was too early. I could not handle it. My blood was still flowing. My heart was still pumping. Sarah had to walk me out. I was not happy with that guy. All right, I was looking at him, and what my thought was, that's not why I went. I didn't go over there and fight, and I didn't see that guy do that, and that guy do that, and these people give their lives. That's not why I fought. So this guy could disrespect the flag, so this guy could tear it and rip it as a shirt, so he could make a pathetic personal statement anyways. I said, that's not why I went over there. And only a couple weeks later, I believe it was New Hampshire at the time, legalized gay marriage. And because of the system that's in place there, weren't able to vote for it. Every time it's been put on the ballot, it's been shot down. But, the couple of Supreme Court people can do it whatever they want. All right, but these people did that. And I thought, my first thought was, that's not why I went over there. I didn't go over so these people could do this. Not in my country, not in America. That's not why I fought. That's not why I risked my life. And this thought came to mind. You know, scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Peradventure, for a good man, there are very few people that would even dare to die. But he went. Think of some of the people Jesus Christ died for. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured. It gave him joy to give his life for some of those people. For some of those people. For some of those people. Yet peradventure for a righteous man, some would even dare to die, but for a good man, there's very few people that would even die for a good man. And my thought came to mind, think of some of the people that Jesus Christ gave his life for. Willingly gave his life for. Who put that in his mind? Who put that in his heart? God said, I was in the Son, reconciling the world to myself. It's the nature of God to do good for everybody. It's the nature, it's in his heart, it's who he is by grace. One of the attributes of God is grace, and it precedes all human works. Grace is inwrought and imparted by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5 and verse 5 says that the Holy Spirit spread abroad in our hearts. The grace of God is spread abroad in your heart, and through the Holy Spirit, that grace is inwrought, and that grace is imparted, and that grace works. If you're saved this morning, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, and the Holy Spirit of God does a work inside of you, stirring you up and doing a work inside of you and keeping you close to God, sealing your spirit until the day of redemption. The grace of God is present in every aspect of your life by the Holy Spirit of God. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Not only is grace a free gift given to those that are saved, but grace is rich. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, if you'll turn there, if you're already maybe in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, just back a chapter in verse number 9. Says, for ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The grace of God. He is rich in grace. Not only is grace a gift, but it's also rich. In other words, supplies aren't limited. I deliver product for a living. chips, potato chips. They're delicious. They're Shears. Might as well. All right, but I deliver these for sales, all right? I deliver these. That's a joke. I deliver these for a living. Well, Monday, when I showed up for work off for a day, I show up to work to load my truck, and we're out of our number one product. About 200 bags, they're not there. They didn't make it. They had a fire. I don't know. All I know is it's not there. All right, so what am I going to do? I'm scrambling. All right, well, when it comes to the... Have you ever gone to a sale and they say, while supplies last, and you've got to get there early? All right, which is not my strong point. Not my strong suit. All right, but you've got to get there early. Why? Because there's only so much of it. When it comes to the grace of God, and when it comes to the goodness of God, it's not going to run out. You're not just going to show up on Monday morning and the supplies are out, or it's not there. What am I going to do? I have to scramble for something else. When it comes to the goodness that comes out of the heart of God and is spread abroad in my life, and it's free and it's just there, the supplies are not limited. His grace is rich. His grace is plenteous. He's full of grace. Due to the graciousness of Jesus Christ, we are richly rewarded with an abundance of heavenly gifts. Romans chapter 9 says this, "Hath not the power the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy," that's us, "which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." What if God was willing to endure for such a time, just to show the power of the world to come, just to show his immense grace? What if God is just doing good things just because? What if God is just blessing just because? What if God is just working in my life and doing things for me, the riches of his glory, and bestowing it upon vessels of mercy just because? That's what that verse says. Doesn't the potter have power over the clay to do whatever he wants? Well, why is he doing such good things with this lump of clay? Because he's God. And part of God is goodness. And he's full of grace. God, by his grace, is doing amazing things in his vessels, preparing hearts, changing hearts, richly producing spiritual depth and growth by grace. Every morning of every day, one of the first things that really should come out of our mouths is, "Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity to have a relationship with you. I thank you for another day to know you. I thank you for another moment to know you. I thank you for the opportunity to live a day and to have a relationship with you. I don't know why I have it. I don't deserve my next heartbeat. I don't deserve the next breath out of my lungs. Thank you for another moment to have a relationship with a God that is so good." You know, God is doing things today all over the world. God is doing things today all over this room. God is doing amazing and mighty things and not expecting anything in return. Oftentimes knowing he's not getting anything in return. But by his grace, he's doing them. And his grace is rich. You know, I'd like to also throw out there that this could be a two-part message. Because there are many conditional blessings in the Bible. If then type blessings. If my people, which are called by my name, then I will. All right. There are conditional blessings in the Bible, but I want you to put that aside for a moment just to consider all the unconditional blessings in your life. All of the unconditional blessings of your life. Why are they there? They're there because of his grace. Not only is it a free gift, not only is it rich, but it's active.
And in case you haven't noticed, I am doing a G-R-A-C-E. All right, and the C and the E are combined into one point, so we're almost there. All right, but God's grace is a free gift, and it's rich. Supplies are not limited, but it's also active.
It's also active. You know, God doesn't work in the, you know, it's not in the contract that now that you're saved, it's all on you. It's not that, well, now that you've accepted me, well, now here's what you do for me. God continues, after salvation, to do amazing things equivalent to your salvation. God continues to work in such a mighty way. His kingdom is now. It's at hand. God is working. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." If you know that God is good, if you've taken a part of that, if you know in your heart that God is gracious, now you're just going to want more of it. Now you just have that appetite for who God is. Now you just want a little bit more and a little bit more. Have you ever heard a sermon or heard a message or read God's word and just wanted a little bit more and just wanted to draw a little closer? God said, "Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you." Have you ever drawn nigh to God and you've wanted to draw a little bit closer and you've wanted Him to move a little bit closer and you've wanted to know Him just a little bit deeper? Why? Because you've had that taste of how the Lord is gracious. And He's whetted your appetite for a little bit more. It's active. God's grace is active. You know, salvation is by grace. We read that verse in Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace are you saved." But it's not now that you're saved, law, law, law. It's grace, grace, grace. It's God continuing to be full of grace. God's grace is present in every precious word of the Bible. Romans 5:2 says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." An unsaved person doesn't have the access to God's grace that we have. They do have God's grace. God is gracious by nature. He's gracious to everyone. He's certainly gracious to a dark world and to a light soul. God is gracious to all beings. But we have a special access into God's grace that an unsaved person does not have. Now that we're saved, we have an abundance of even more grace that we can take part in. You know, I don't deserve the daily rain of God's blessings on my soul and in my life. I don't deserve the daily comfort and encouragement in my time of needs. He's a very present help in my time of needs. I don't deserve the ceaseless security of His loving arms around me. God says that the shields of the earth belong unto Him. He's protecting us. The daily refreshing of my spirit, the constant protection of His mighty power. You know, I don't deserve those things. Why is it given to me? By grace. I have not merited, I have not worked for, I have not earned the love of God. I haven't merited a peace that passes all understanding. I haven't merited a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I haven't merited a very present help in my time of need. I have not deserved those things, and yet I have it. And yet I have it every day of my life. You know, God doesn't owe me my daily needs. You know, God doesn't owe me a great physician that heals the sick. God doesn't owe me a home in heaven. And yet, I have it. I currently have these things. I can go to God and say, "Lord, bless this person, they're ill." I can go to God and say, "God, I have this need. Will you please meet it?" I can go to God and say, "I know that there's a home in heaven for me, and I look forward to that time. Will it be today?" I can go to God with those things knowing that I don't deserve it, but that I have it. And how do I know those things? By grace. You know, it's by grace that I'm forgiven. It's by grace that my sins are washed away. It's by grace that my iniquity is remembered no more. It's by grace that I'm atoned. It's by grace that Jesus Christ, that man, is my personal Lord and Savior. That He's my Redeemer. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For I am the least of the apostles," Paul talking, "that I am not meet even to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. God's grace was active in Paul's life. God's grace is active in your life. God's grace is active in my life. He says, if it weren't for the grace of God, where would I be? If it weren't for God's loving kindness and the goodness that comes out of the heart of God, where would I be? If it wasn't for His grace. And He says, God's grace was not in vain in my life. Is there grace being bestowed upon you that is in vain? You don't owe it to Him to do anything back. But is it just being wasted in your life? I mean, is the goodness of God being bestowed upon you and you're just saying, I don't care? I mean, is God just giving you certain graces that as the prodigal son, you're just wasting in the world? I mean, is there graces that God's bestowing upon you? As Paul said, do we continue in sin that grace just may continue to abound in my life? It's not in vain. It's by grace that Paul preached and it's by grace that I read it and believe. Not only is grace a free gift, rich, not only is it active, but it's CE, charitable and eternal. If you've studied charity in the Bible, is there anything more charitable than grace? Is there anything more charitable than God's grace? Fruitful, selfless, blesses, that's what charity is. Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity thinketh no evil, beareth all things. Charity never faileth. Charity is eternal. Charity is grace. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, you'll recognize this verse when I say it, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day. You know, everywhere you turn, there's enough evil there. You know, if things could get any worse, they will. If things could decline anymore, they will. You know, the amount of limit, you know, kind of like talking about government, the more room you give them, they'll take it. You know, anything they could do, all right, it'll just get worse and worse. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Can I tell you something? If I could add a verse to the Bible for just a moment. All right, it's principally speaking, it is in the Bible. All right, sufficient unto the day is the grace of God. Sufficient to your need is the grace of God. Sufficient to this day, sufficient to counter that evil, sufficient to meet my needs, sufficient to bless me, sufficient to take me through what God has brought me to. Sufficient is the grace of God. God's grace is eternal. It's endless. It's continual. His grace. Jesus Christ said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you get to a place where you realize you could not have brought yourself there, when you get to a place where you realize there's no way I can on my own get through this, when you get to a place where you need God's grace, that's when you'll realize that it was God's grace that was with you all along. When you get to that place where you look at God and you say, God, why in the world are you so good to me? Who am I to deserve this? You've realized God's grace. And who was it that put it into the mind of God to be so good to me? And yet He did it anyway. While I was a sinner, Christ died for me. While I was ungodly, Christ died for me. And it was the joy that was set before Him that made Him endure that cross. God is good. God's grace is a free gift. It's rich. God's grace is active, it's charitable, and it's eternal. But my question to you is, just as Paul said, you know, it's from my moment of salvation until now, it's been God's grace that's brought me this far. And God has blessed over and over and time again this world that I live in. And my family, as I look back, and I see that my father personally was a first generation Christian. And if it weren't for his salvation, would I be saved today? And I look back and I see that his entire family is now saved. And now my entire family is now saved. And I look back and I say, God, you've done so much for Bob Leithley. Before I ever even existed, you had it in your plan and you brought it to be. Is it in vain in my life? Lord, don't let it be so. Is it in vain in your life?
Lord, don't let it be so. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I realize that we can look around today and see much evil, because sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But can I tell you, look around at what God is doing. Sufficient unto the day is God's grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Can I tell you, tomorrow morning, God will do something for you that you do not deserve. This afternoon, God is going to do something in your life that you do not deserve. God will watch over you in such a mighty way because God is gracious. Is it being given to you in vain? Have you taken a step toward God today? Have you taken a step toward God this week? Have you said, God, I know I didn't deserve your goodness, but I'm just going to do something to you by grace. God, I'm going to do something for you, not expecting anything in return. God, I'm going to give out of the abundance of what I have towards you by grace. Lord, we thank you for the preaching of your word and the truth that's in it. God, I thank you for everything that you've done for me. If I haven't said it today yet, God, I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for what you'll do in this time of invitation and however you've worked. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as Brother Jay sings a song of the verse that he has here prepared, the altar is open. If you need to come to this altar, maybe just to thank God for what he's done, come at this time as the piano plays. The altar is open. Maybe God's spoken to you saying, you know, you've never thanked me for that. Maybe God's spoken to you to say, you know, you've never thanked me for my grace. You've never thanked me for your salvation. You've never thanked me for Bible Baptist Church. I gave it to you. You've never thanked me for your word. I've given it to you. You've never thanked me that I was a great physician for you from the moment you were conceived in the womb until now. I've watched over you. I've protected you. I've loved you. By grace. Don't allow that grace to be in vain. Maybe you just want to say, Lord, thank you. Lord, I love you. Maybe you want to say, God, this week I'm going to do something for you, not expecting anything in return, not expecting anything back, not so that you'll owe me or someone else will owe me. God, I want to do something for your church here in Cambridge, Ohio. I want to do something for my brother or my sister in Christ just by grace.
It's clear today. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for this gathering of people. God, I thank you for what we've heard. And Lord, I pray, Lord, I know for some, it's just doesn't make sense. God, I pray that you will continue to work on our hearts and let us understand and through that fall in love with you even more and have that relationship with you. God, again, we pray for the safety of our pastor, his wife, and Aaron as they come back to us. Bring them back here safely, Father, without an incident. We'll thank you for that. Lord, as we leave this building,